for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Zexant Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Saturday morning, April 21st, 1984. Spring camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Michael Newland of the Cameron family of Peterhead, Scotland, is the speaker of the morning as we join the morning service, which is in process.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have your way, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, God, my Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The glory of God. Cleansing this morning. I believe the Lord just wants to wash us this morning in His blood and His love. And I don't think it's one bit out of order for us just to kneel right now before the Lord and to pour out our hearts and say, God, break us this morning if that's what it takes. Break us, Lord, that You can mold us back into Your image and into Your likeness and into the perfect realm that You would have us to be, Lord. Just smote us this morning, Lord, and break us. Hallelujah. His peace is here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. And be glad for the things you have found. You did not pass this way by chance. You are led here by God's hand. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Have found. You did not pass this way by chance. Oh, you were led here by God's hand. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Yes, you are. You weren't here by your own will. You're here by the divine will of God today. And give thanks for the things you have found. You did not pass this way by chance. You are led here by God's hand. Take off your shoes. Oh, you are now on holy ground. Hallelujah. Take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground. Hallelujah. And give thanks for the things you have found. You did not pass this way by chance. Oh, you are led
You by God's hand, take off your shoes, for you are now on holy ground.
The priest did not enter the temple with his shoes on. This morning I want every person in this place to have the shoes off of their feet. Take off your shoes. If they have to be unlaced, unlace them. Get your shoes off. We're on holy ground this morning. We're in the Holy of Holies this morning, in the presence of the living God. And we need to be praising and standing or falling prostrate on our face before Him. We're in the presence of the Lord this morning. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, my son, my Hallelujah.
Altar and to place it upon Isaiah's lips, to cleanse his lips. And Lord, I thank this morning that we've all had our lips cleansed, that the fire of God has cleaned us out, and we can sing, "These are holy lips." Oh, we bless you, Jesus.
These are holy lips. We're praising through heart.
ransom, and what is cleansed is holy. These are holy lips. We're praising to holy lips. For the Lord has cleansed them, and what is cleansed is holy. Oh, we praise you. You know, the Lord says to be ye holy as I am holy. And that's not just in there for nothing. The Lord expects us to be holy. Oh, praise God. He's Lord. He's King. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus, and he still reigns. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's sing, our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God does reign. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I thank you for reigning in my heart this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. How lovely are the mountains on the feet of that, that brings good news. Good news. Oh, now
the Lord. Well, we're having Holy Ghost meetings. A Holy Ghost meeting. Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Roger, will you and your wife come up here a minute? Praise you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
The Lord would say unto you, Roger, when he speaks to you, he speaks to your wife as well, not to be weary in well-doing, and not to feel that you're alone and left all alone, but that the Spirit of the Lord rest upon you, and that for you to determine that you will be faithful in the things of the Lord. And you determine to do that, and the Lord will be faithful with you. And you feel as though you are an orphan, and that you're left out with nobody around to support you or to help you. But that is not so. For the very power and presence of the Lord that rests in this place rests also there in thee and in thy household. And the Spirit of the Lord will move upon thee, and by his Spirit there shall be mighty deliverances and restorations brought in the area wherein he has called you to labor, and that his Spirit will bring that to pass as you are faithful before him. And then the Lord requires a broken and a contrite spirit to minister unto the people of the Lord who are in need and are needing help that only can come because of those who have a compassion in their hearts for those that are hurting. And the Lord would have you to know this morning that this same presence of the Lord that rests here will also rest with you when you go back home. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise your Lord Jesus. Praise your Lord Jesus. Well, where the presence of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. And that liberty is to praise and to worship and to glorify the Lord and declare that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. This morning we declare that he's Lord of every one of our lives and that he is Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Well, I love the presence of the Lord more than anything else. That's what we live for, is for him. Amen. And his presence to be manifested in our midst. And this morning, the Lord is here with us. And in fact, I can come down here and begin to pray, and I can feel the presence of the Lord in this place, the angels of the Lord about us, all the time, anytime. I tell you, I can walk around and feel the angels of the Lord in this place. And I'll tell you how I know when they're about, because I can feel fire. I can feel heat. And if I got my coat off and all, sometimes the hair of my arms will stand out when I'm get up by an angel. And there's always a band of angels in this place. Amen. And I thank God for the presence of the Lord that come and the angels of the Lord that stand forth to minister with us and for us and to protect us and watch over us. But we have to believe that, and I believe that. And I expect, you know, the Lord did a miracle for me a few days ago, and in more than one way. He did a miracle. I passed a very large stone a few days ago. It was about 3/4 inch long and about 1/2 inch through. And without the help of the Lord, why, it would almost been impossible. And I guess it would have been. And I passed that, and I really didn't have too much pain. Oh, I had quite a bit of discomfort, but it took about 3 hours for it to pass. The Lord, I just praised the Lord and thanked him that it was coming out. Amen, that I was getting rid of it. That's a miracle. That is a miracle that I passed it, and it's a miracle that I did it with no more pain than I had with it. Because I worked all day. I started passing about 3 o'clock in the morning, and 10 minutes after 6, it passed. And I worked all day till 10 o'clock that night. So that the Lord has to renew our health and renew our strength. For the Lord is our health, and he is our strength, and he is all in all. Amen. This place couldn't exist here except the Lord did it. No way could this place operate except that the Lord did it. Because it takes too much finances, and there is no financial income here from this place. A few dollars. There's a few dollars from donations from the people whose mobile homes set here and a few campers that come through. But that is minor. That won't even pay the gas bill, or let alone the light bill. It's a miracle of the Lord every month here, that the finances that God sends in to keep this place in operation and to build it and to bring it to where it is today and to where it is yet to go to. We are only to raise up an army. And this is one of the garrisons. The Lord spoke to us, to Irma, through a prophecy years ago on an airplane on the way to Sweden. A woman walked up to Irma and started to prophesy to her on the plane and said that the Lord was going, we were going to be responsible for a garrison for the Lord. Well, that's what this place is. It's a garrison for the army of the Lord. A garrison is a place where they come and learn and go back out to fight. And that's, and the Lord has, at that time, it didn't mean a thing to Irma. She, you know, wondered what it was all about. And that's true of many prophecies that to us and to others. Just hide them in your heart, and the Lord will bring them to pass. It's not, we've had many, many prophecies, and if we just took off and ran and tried to do what somebody prophesied to us, we'd have been in great disaster. You don't take and try to make God's plan work. You do it, and you work in it as God brings it along, then it'll fulfill and it'll come to pass. And it'll not be, and it will be a blessing and not a disaster. There's too many disasters in the Christian world because they've been prophesied over and then they felt they have to make that prophecy come to pass. No, that's God's responsibility, not yours or mine. And God will do it in His time. And it may be a different, it may be altogether different from the way we looked at it or way we thought of it. It may be entirely a different, in a different light of the way of the Lord will do it than what we see it or think of it when it's given to us or we hear it. So we're only responsible today for today. And we take care of today, then tomorrow will be another today. And we take care of that. And as we praise and worship and believe and trust the Lord, then He will do in our lives what is necessary for each day. Praise the Lord. Well, so it is necessary. That came out just right. I didn't say it that way on purpose, but it is necessary to receive an offering to help with the finances. And if you write checks, I should have mentioned, if you write checks, write them to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. They're tax deductible, and the Lord will bless you for it. And we thank you for it. So if the Lord lays on any of your hearts, even after you go home, and I hope He does lay on your hearts after you go home, to support us monthly, to help take care of the monthly support here, because that's the way that we, our finances come in, that the Lord will lay on your heart, that you will obey the word of the Lord that comes to you and help us with our finances here. And the Lord will bless you and we bless you, and it will be used and appreciated for the glory of the Lord. Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for a manifestation of your glory and your power. Set the captives free to bring healing and restoration and all that is needed in amongst your body to make us a fit soldier, willing and able, physically and spiritually, to carry on the battle to put saints in underfoot and to set the captives free. We thank you for it this morning. I praise you for it. I thank you for all these that you have gathered together here this morning, and I thank you for your blessings upon them, and that your blessings that they will carry home with them, and the blessings that will yet be theirs. And I bless them, and I thank you for it. Father, I thank you for the offering that is being received this morning. I thank you for it, and I bind it to the kingdom of the living God. And give us wisdom and understanding as we are responsible for it. The Lord will make it multiply again and again here for the campground and then wherever it is used. To whoever's hands it goes, I bind it to the kingdom of the living God, that it shall be only for the necessities of life, and then for the furtherance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus, to bring back the King and declare that He is King of kings and Lord of lords. I thank you for it. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. After lunch today, about 1 o'clock or so, Irma will take all of you ladies up to the upper room for a prayer session. And all of the men, we'll gather right in this area over here and the Lord will do for us this afternoon. We'll have a prayer session. And then at 2:30, we will have a deliverance service. And I believe that Irma will be talking, teaching, whatever, this afternoon. And then tonight at 7 o'clock, we'll gather for service again. And tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. This evening, so far as I know, I will be teaching on curses. Basically, we have a there has been a misconception taught in the body of Christ in the last few years that everything is blessing. I can believe for it and I can have it. They have forgot to teach the other side of the page. And the blessings that they have taught have become a curse to many people. Even though the blessing is true, it has become a curse. And it has become a curse because we have not rightly divided the word of the Lord. I'm going to try to put in balance the page so that we will rightly divide the word of the Lord, that we will truly live under the blessings and not under the curses, because they are both on the same. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that God's judgment is exactly the same as his blessing. I said that God's judgment is exactly the same as his blessing. There is no difference. The scale of the Lord balances even. One side is blessing, and one side is the curses. And when we do things contrary to the word of the Lord, we put the blessings out of balance, and we receive the curses. And we have to understand that we rightly divide the word of the Lord to live in the blessing of the Lord so that we do not receive the curses, because the curses are just as sure as the blessings. And most of us, and most all of us, and too many of us live under the curses and not the blessing. And it's because we have not been taught and have not rightly divided the word of the Lord. We need to come into a right balance and understanding of God's blessings and his curses so that we can live in the word and receive the blessings. Praise the Lord. Brother Michael, I will turn the rest of the morning over to you to minister the word of the Lord this morning for us. Send Judah first. Hallelujah. The praisers are those who lead the army into battle. Hallelujah. And when the praise is there, the victory is ours. Hallelujah. And the battle doesn't have to be fought so hard.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Can you say amen this morning? Praise the Lord. Surely there's been a refreshing, hallelujah, the Holy Spirit on each and every life here this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. And if you haven't received nothing from the Lord this morning, praise the Lord, you haven't been open to the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, the former and the latter, hallelujah, shall pour forth like a precious ointment. Amen. And meet the needs of God's people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, in blessing will I bless thee. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? When we begin to bless God, hallelujah, and begin to lift up the name of Jesus, hallelujah, he begins to pour out a blessing. Praise the Lord. My hallelujah, with such a power and such a presence of his love divine. Amen. We're just going to sing this. Send Judah first. Praise the Lord. And everyone knows what Judah means. Amen. Praise the Lord. It means praise. Hallelujah. And sure, our sister was just touching along the line that, my, we need to praise God. Hallelujah. My, amen, in the beauty of his holiness. Praise the Lord. Let's sing it together. Send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Praise the Lord. Judah first, and the battle will be won. Send Judah first, and the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father and glory to the Son. Send Judah first, and the battle will be won. Send Judah first, and the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father. The grand glory to the Son. Send Judah first. Send Judah first. And the battle will be won. Send Judah first. And the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father. The grand glory to the Son. Send Judah first. Send Judah first. And the battle will be won. Judah first. And the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father and glory to the Son. Send Judah first. Send Judah first. We're not all singing it this morning. Send Judah first. And the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father and glory to the Son. Send Judah first. Send Judah first. And the battle will be won. Judah first. And the foe is overcome. Giving praise to the Father and glory to the Son. Send Judah first. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bend the giddy. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm a man of many languages. Hallelujah. But the most important language, praise the Lord, that is in my life, amen, I tell you, is the language of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, even since we came into the ministry, praise the Lord, you begin to learn so many cultures, so many areas of life. Praise the Lord. And the Lord begins to give you a tremendous education. Hallelujah. In His Word. Amen. Praise the Lord in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that you and I are not are just a nobody. You know what I mean? We're not a nobody today. We're somebody. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're a joint heir with Jesus. Amen. When we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. And the Lord makes you and I somebody. Hallelujah. Amen. Not just another pebble on the beach, but we're somebody. I know I'm going to share a couple of songs or hymns with you. Praise the Lord this morning. And I'm just going to reminisce a little bit and share what's in my heart. Because what more can a preacher do today? Praise the Lord, what's being done with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I just praise the Lord that, amen, God has given me the insight that, amen, I know when God moves. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not one of that preachers full of ego, or whatever, full of egg, that when the Holy Ghost moves, man, that I have to get up and give me say. Amen. What I feel, and praise the Lord, what I'm going to preach on. Hallelujah. Amen. I know the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But I'm just going to share with you and reminisce a little bit. Amen. Just what we've seen today. Hallelujah. And I'm going to share a vision that God gave me many years ago in Peterhead, Scotland. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And how the Lord took it and how I seen that by the mighty flow of the Holy Spirit. Would that be all right this morning just to coincide with what happened here this morning? Hallelujah. It happened in my cousin's church, the Zion Tabernacle in Peterhead, Scotland. And I'm just going to sing a little bit. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If the choice was all for me to make, this trip of life I still would take, I would walk these earthly valleys just to meet God up on the hill. I would face our lives tomorrows. I would suffer every shame just to know that someday as I walk along, I'll hear Him call my name, for I've been called to follow Jesus, and I'll follow till I die. Jesus, he made my life worthwhile. Though the shadows hover, by faith I still can see. He says, follow thou me. If my natural eyes could never know the beauty of the sunset glow, still I'd walk these earthly valleys. And my love for him I'd show. I'd walk these earthly valleys, and my love for him I'd show. If my ears could never hear a note of any song I ever wrote, yet I know that someday as I walk along, I'll hear that trumpet blow, for I've been called to follow Jesus, and I'll follow till I die. Called to follow Jesus, he made my life worthwhile. So shadows hover, by faith I still can see. I can hear him calling. He says, follow thou me. He says, follow thou me. I'd like to sing the testimony this morning. Praise the Lord. And, you know, isn't it wonderful when you feel the touch of God in your soul? Amen. It does more than any preacher could do. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord begins to fall and, amen, God begins to enlighten us, hallelujah, and begin to open our spiritual eyes and our spiritual ears, and we begin to see that and feel that touch of God in our life. Amen. You know, I never sung in my life until Jesus touched my life just about 6 years ago. I would sing choruses, and God began to quicken me, began to sing about my glory. And I said, Lord, but I'm not a singer. And the Lord says, I'll put anointing upon your lips. He says, I'll cause you to sing hallelujah for my glory. And I begin to sing, and praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just singing unto Jesus this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm not one of these fellas that have everything down, you know, praise the Lord, the pot. Man, that has everything in their concordance kind of area that, man, I know what I'm going to say and what I'm going to sing. Because sometimes I make a mistake in some of the songs. Praise the Lord. But you know, that's hallelujah. It's not the singer. It's the song in the heart. Hallelujah. And I'd just like to share this song with you and then share a little bit with you this morning. It's my desire to be like Jesus. It's my
my desire to live for him. It's my desire to help someone today. Someone who may have failed to find the way. For I too was once so lost, but I found my way to God. It's my desire to the place I am today, then you would know the reason why I love him so. You can take the world's fine riches. I don't need a thing. It's my desire to live for him. It's my desire to help someone today. Someone who may have failed to find the way. For I too was once so lost, but I found my way to God. It's my desire to live for him. If you could see where Jesus brought me from to the place I am today, then you would know the reason why I love him so. I don't need a thing. It's my desire to live for him. Hallelujah. Praise his name. And surely, that should be our desire this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It's my desire to live for Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. And what happened this morning, I believe so many times, you know, when we come together, it should happen every time we come together. Hallelujah. Amen? When we come in this door of this little church, praise the Lord, the Spirit of God should fall in a mighty way. Hallelujah. Amen? Praise the Lord. I don't know what's happened to so many churches today. I guess they've got back to respectability. Amen. Praise the Lord. You and I tell you, we want to live in a way, in an area of respectability. And I tell you, praise the Lord, I've been in places where the Spirit of the Lord has fell. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You went back a few months later, and they're back to where they were before. They lose the vision, or they lose the quickening of the Holy Spirit. And where there is no vision, the people perish, the Bible tells me. Hallelujah. But there's one thing that God began to quicken me around this area. begin to say, man, where do you begin to come in this way? Well, if there's no people, there's no vision. Understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord, because you need people, hallelujah, to run with a vision, amen. And if God gives a person a vision, regardless where it is, amen, the people that are there, hallelujah, get caught up in the vision and begin to move in the mighty anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And you begin to relate about David. Man, I tell you, David was a man after God's own heart. He knew how to, man, get close to God. And you know, there's an area in 1 Samuel 17, there was a time that he was tending the sheep. And my Israelites, the Israelites were in bondage to a big fella called Goliath. And this big fella stood there, and all the mighty men in the Israelite camp wouldn't go out and fight him. Man, for all their battle tactics and all their area where they learned to fight, they just wouldn't go out and mix it with this big fella here. But you know, it says David came down from his father with some bread and cheese to his brothers. And if you could really concede to the area of the chapter, it says that, my, Samuel came and anointed David, praise the Lord, with the oil, hallelujah. And here was this boy, David, coming down from tending his father's sheep. And he stood in the midst of the fighting men of Israel. And he began to say, now, what's going on here? What's happening? And his elder brother, Eliab, looked on and says, well, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? You should be tending our father's sheep. What's a boy like you doing here? And it says that Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And David looked at his older brother and he says, surely there's a cause that I am here today, that I'm right in this area at a time. And it could be a cause that you're here today. Hallelujah. Because the Lord wants to touch your life. The Lord wants to anoint you. The Lord wants to give you something, praise the Lord, that you need this morning. Hallelujah. And here was little David standing there and he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he defies the army of the living God? He says, who is this? And I tell you, he went to King Saul, he says, what'll happen? He says, the one that defeats this fella here. Well, you get the king's daughter in marriage. Oh, praise the Lord. And the fella began to tell him what was going to happen. And my, David went, he says, I'll fight this king. Man, I'll fight this Goliath for you. And it says, as David came forth, Goliath began to scorn and make a fool of this boy. But I tell you this, man, the boy was moved by the man of very heart of God, a very touch of God in his life. And he says, this day God is going to give me you into my hand. And you can read this story, and it relates to so many times. He was the elder brother, my, the eldest son of Jesse. There was 8 sons, my, where David was the youngest one. And here was Samuel, even in the prior chapter of that book of Samuel, begin to come and say, well, this is the man that I've got to anoint. And he came to Eliab and he says, this is the man I'm going to anoint. Eliab, the eldest brother. Man, he's strong in stature. He's a fighting man. He's a man. He's older. He's responsible for the things that he does. And it says that Samuel went right through the whole sons and it says to Jesse, is there any more sons? And this young boy came out, ruddy in complexion. I tell you, nothing to look at. But I tell you, the touch of God was in the man's life. And you know what makes a difference today in our life? The touch of God in our life. Hallelujah. Amen. And surely there's a cause this morning that you're sitting in the presence of the Most High. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's not think little of these things, but let's really, really realize, hallelujah, what God is doing in the midst today. He's pouring out His Spirit upon all flesh. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And you and I are so many times so dumb. Amen. I tell you, so naturally minded, mind to move in and receive the things of the Spirit of God. Come on. Amen. Come on. Amen. And I begin to realize, I remember, mind, there is a cause, hallelujah, for men and women to get stirred up with the power of God in their life and go forth and begin to say, thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a lack of men of God like Nathan the prophet that spoke to David and began to say, thus says the Lord. And yet, today, you and I, my, as witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and all the other parts of the earth, begin to get, my, so slow in being a witness for the Lord. Amen. And you know, we don't blame ourselves. If anything goes wrong in our life, we don't blame us. We begin to blame everybody else but us. You can't blame anyone for your relationship with Jesus. Amen. You can't look at the preacher behind the pulpit and say, well, it's his fault. Well, it's my neighbor's fault. It's my wife's fault. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. It's this woman. It's this woman you gave me, Lord. She's causing me problems. I tell you, praise the Lord, she's a helpmate by your side. Amen. She's a strength. I tell you, praise the Lord, a prayer warrior. Amen. And she's there because husband and wife become as one. Amen. And you might blame your wife, and your wife might blame the husband. You might blame your children and certain things. But I tell you, man, there's only one person to blame, and that's yourself. My, that lacks moving into the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Literally realize what God is doing today by his power. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I we want to be in the things of God so many times. Hallelujah. People are content to sit and listen and sit under the anointing of God, and yet there's been thousands sat under the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit, moving in the midst, miracle upon miracle, people being saved, souls being set free, cancers being removed, man, the God Jehovah really moving, and yet it hasn't moved them one iota. Because their spiritual eyes haven't been opened. Their spiritual being hasn't been quickened by the mighty hand of Jesus Christ. There are so many come to services, my Holy Ghost services, and they just come for the loaf and the fishes. Come on. They just come for the natural man to emulate a little bit, to mimic a little bit. Amen? Listen to what I'm saying. Man, I've seen it all. I've seen it all. But I tell you, there's reality in Christ this morning. Hallelujah. And I remember many years ago, 14 years ago, when I first came into the ministry, when God chose me off a deck of a fishing boat and says, I want you to preach the gospel. And I looked at him, man, well, I looked at the area of my life and I says, Lord, I says, how can I preach the gospel? I don't even know what to preach. I says, choose someone else. But the Lord began to speak to my heart. And man, that scripture began to come alive to me. There is a God. And I begin to look at other people round about me, and I say, well, Lord, this man here, I says, man, he's well learned, he knows the scripture, use this man. And the Lord would just come right back to me every time and say, no, I'm going to use you. And I say, well, Lord, if you're going to use me, I want to be, praise the Lord, this is how Michael felt. Well, if you're going to use me, I want to be like some of these big-time preachers. I want to start at the top. I wanted to come right in there at the top. And when I'd preach in that, my thousand would be saved. And you know what I mean? Everything with the drum would beat and the trumpets would blow. And my head would say, oh, look at this. There's a tremendous man of God. And this is where I wanted to start. I tell you, but God, man, I said, just make me like some of these men. And one night I sat in a service such as this. And the Lord began to minister to me in the spirit. And he began to say, I don't want you like anyone else. I want you as you are right now. What am I trying to say? We can never stand in any other or anyone else's anointing. Amen. We can never stand in anyone else's shoes. God has gave you an anointing. Praise the Lord, second to none. But you know this, amen. Let's not live on one another's blessings or overspill of the anointing of God. But let's reach, hallelujah, reach out and touch Jesus for ourselves. Hallelujah. Because through the body of Christ today, so many people have been living on an overspill of someone else being blessed to God. And man, something's happened in that man's life that man, they fail. And if that man's failed, I tell you, he takes thousands with him. But let's walk in that anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know I was out here I said, Lord, use me. You know, I didn't know any scripture. I knew John, praise the Lord, 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you might say, well, that's a tremendous scripture. Amen. That's a tremendous scripture. And I begin to pray to the Lord and I says, Lord, if I'm going to be in the ministry, Lord, just put me where you want me. And I begin to seek the Lord, and my older brothers in the Lord, you know, I went to church at that time, would come along and say, now, Michael, you know, just watch what you're doing. And I used to feel the call of God in my life. I said, I feel I'm called to minister. And they would say to me, no, Michael. Just take it easy. Be still and know God. And look, well, if you think you're called to God, see if you can get into a Bible, you know what I mean, a Bible school. And I begin to look at pamphlets for Bible schools here in America, Europe. And then I begin to realize, even in Scotland, that you needed letters before your name to get in there. And I begin to say, Lord, surely my men are ordained by thee. And I begin to read the scripture. And the Lord gave me a scripture one night. In Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage, as I have commanded thee. Amen. I'll be with thee whithersoever thou goest. Praise the Lord. And I took that scripture. The Lord gave it to me in the night watches, one night. I went to my wife and I said, right, we're moving for God. People says, Oh, where did you get the message from, Lord, Michael? I says, well, the Lord spoke to me last night in the Spirit. I'd never read the Scripture. I didn't know where it was because, praise the Lord gave me a wife that was saved, amen. And I spoke to Gwen about it. And Gwen's a little bit educated than what I am. Praise the Lord knows what he's doing, amen, when he takes husband and wife together. Hallelujah. And you know, my Gwen read up the Scripture, and here it was in Joshua 1 and 9. I says, right, we're moving on that. And people would look and shake their heads, these old, respectable people, Holy Ghost people, Pentecostal people, shake their heads. Give them a month, 2 months. Oh, you don't do that? Oh, but I heard directly for Jesus Christ. I heard the Word of God. I said, I'm going to move on it. And if I'd never moved on it 14 years ago, I wouldn't be here tonight. I moved on it, and the people says, well, we'll give them a month. We'll give them 2 months. They even give us 2 months in our marriage. But you see, God, hallelujah, is supreme in all things. Amen. This is 14 years. Praise the Lord. Amen. I tell you, he's never let us down. He's never disappointed us, this wonderful Jesus. Many times we've failed him and disappointed him. But I tell you, he keeps on loving us. Hallelujah. And I begin to realize how God was moving in my life. And we landed in Kennedy Airport. And I began to praise the Lord. Didn't know anybody. But God began to open the doors. And I was over here 6 weeks. In the ministry. First time in the ministry. And I didn't know a lot. I still don't know a lot. Because I tell you, we're always learning of the things of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. We've not landed yet. Let me tell you. And I tell you, praise the Lord. I begin to stand on the platform. And I begin to say, Lord, what do I say? And he begin to say, just tell them about me. And I begin to tell them about Jesus. About my life. How the Lord had took me from the depths of sin. How he delivered me from alcohol. My, how he had saved my life from that time I tried to take my life. And I begin to relate to that. And man, as I gave the appeal, and the Lord would quicken him and say, give her the appeal. And I'd give the appeal, and boy, the altars would be filled with people coming to know Jesus. Amen. God was giving me the desires of my heart, and I didn't realize it. But I was 6 weeks in this country, and my, the one I loved, my more than anything, you know what I mean, was my mother. She was a red-haired woman. Her name was Annie Robertson Cameron. Called her Nancy, I called my daughter after her. And we were 6 weeks in the ministry. And one day, I got a call, you know, a transatlantic call, and I thought it was a hoax. Someone got on the telephone and says, Michael, something to tell you. I says, what is it? Oh, well, and they swung round about it. I says, tell me, what is it? They says, your mother's dead. I says, my mother's dead? That's what you're telling me. Says, your mother's dead. I says, oh, that's a hoax. That's not true, because my mother hadn't had a day's illness. She was a red-haired woman, young-looking woman that had a gray hair in her head. She was 64 then. There wasn't a bit of gray in her hair. And I tell you, she looked in her 40s, and here she was. And I couldn't understand. I fell on my knees in that preacher's home, and I says, I'll never be back. But you know, the Lord took me back there to Scotland, and I had faith in my heart as I'm going to raise my mother out of that coffin in the name of Jesus. And I read the Scripture all the way over the Atlantic. I said, I'm going to lay hands and God's going to raise her up in the mighty name of Jesus. And as I walked into that room, all my cousins was there, all the Camerons, because they took the service. And as I walked in and I took the napkin off my mother's face, I raised my hands and I began to bless God. And you know what the Lord quickened me that day? What right have you to take the victor's palm? What right have you to take the crown of life? Amen. And we're so apt to pray for things. So many times, you know, if a loved one goes on, we say, well, pray them back, Lord. And yet, if we only realized it, amen, if we only realized. And I begin to, praise the Lord, I was in the service that night, and, you know, we begin to dance at the altar, just what was happening here this morning, my brother and I. And we begin to dance in front of the altar that night in the memorial service, as Michael Cameron took the service. I felt such a joy. Let me tell you, I was sorrowing, man, because I was going to miss her. But I tell you, there was a joy in my heart, hallelujah, knowing, praise the Lord, that someday I would see her. Amen. And I began to rejoice, and over that night there were 60 souls saved. Hallelujah, you never thought would be saved. Came to Jesus, uncles, aunts, nephews, came in that Zion tabernacle and was saved. And I tell you, the people began to rejoice. And I was dressed in full Highland regatta when I went to the funeral. I had my kilt on and all the gear when I went to my mother's funeral. People might say, well, that's traditional. Well, I just showed respect to my mother because my mother was a pure Scottish lady. She just loved things about Scotland. And I just felt, well, here I am. And you know, I was in the church that night, and I'm just going to share a little bit. And I was in the church that night in the middle, right down in the front of the Zion Tabernacle. And there was such a sorrow begin to come on me. And I was joyful. I was weeping, you know, just thinking about my mom. My wife was there sitting beside me. And they began to praise the Lord. And they began to sing, my, the, you know, about the Holy Ghost. And I got up and I began to dance. And I began to dance and I began to sob and I began to, my, get in tune with Jesus. And I began to raise my hands up and I said, Lord, just take me now. I wanted, you know what I mean? I wanted to be with Christ. And I began to praise the Lord and magnify the Lord. And, you know, this time, man, as I was dancing, in man, just on a carpet such as this, I was dancing like this. And I began to see puffs of dust start to come off the bottom of my shoes. And, you know, I was a snappy dress, and I liked to dress when I was a bit younger in that days. And I had a black pair of trousers on and you know, and nice shoes and that. And I seen the dust, and I says, my, this dust is going to make a mess of my clothes. This is how you feel. Oh, my, look at this. And as I looked to my right-hand side, I began to see sandaled feet. And as I began to dance, I looked like this, and here was someone in a gray habit, and he was smiling at me, and he took a hold of my hand, and I looked at him, and his face was perfect. There wasn't a spot, there wasn't a blemish, it was shining. I looked on my left-hand side, and here was another man. I seen the sandaled feet again. I says, what's going on? I says, these men are in bare feet, with sandals on, and it was gray sand. I'll never forget it. And I began to dance like this, and man, and I looked, and he was the same type of person here, and he smiled, and he said, come on. And he took a hold of my hand each side, and I began to dance in the spirit with these people. Do you believe this tonight, this morning? And I began to dance in the spirit, and here it was. I was right in a church such as this, in the Zion Tabernacle. Man, I tell you, Simon and them were amazed. And I began to dance, and as I began to dance, there was a type of slope I came down. And as I began to dance, I was so concerned about my trousers. Here was me in the spirit, and yet I was concerned about my trousers. I began to say, my trousers will get all full of dust. And as I began to dance down there, this slight slope with these my angels that would hold my hands, that they were angels, ministering angels, and I began to dance, the sand began to get wet. And when I looked up, I began to see big rocks, you know, and we began to dance in and out these rocks. And as I looked on my left-hand side, I began to see water cascading up this side. I looked this side, and my, there was heaps of water, and it was rolling, you know, but it was just standing still. It was just heaps of water. And as the water was falling, I felt it falling on my head. I felt it falling on my shoulders, but it just wasn't running off my shoulders. It began to run right through my very being, right through my every fiber of my being. I felt it running through me, right down the soles of my feet, and I began to dance and praise the Lord. And I began to hear, hallelujah, hallelujah. And I begin to hear the heavenly host, amen, begin to praise the Lord. I begin to hear the heavenly host of heaven begin to worship the Lord. And the man of the sky begin to light up, and the glory of the Lord begin to fall. And man, the Lord ministered to me and says, look over there. And I was about maybe 200 yards away, and I begin to see campfires. I begin to see people dancing round the campfires with tambourines and praising the Lord. I begin to see their habits. They had long cloaks on, and they were dancing and praising the Lord. And I began to dance harder than ever in and out this rock. It felt like though I was dancing in and out the bluebells. And the Spirit of the Lord was moving on me. And these two angels beside me were dancing with me with all their might. And I'll tell you, folks, and I began to hear the angels of God begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Amen. And I danced and I danced and I danced. And as I looked, I began to see the campfires. And my, not before very long, I began to get my feet, you know what I mean, on that sand again. And the water was cascading, and man, I tell you, what an experience with the Lord. What a revelation. And here's what God quickened to me. When I came back to reality, everybody was sitting in the Zion Tabernacle. They were all sitting watching me, and I was the only one dancing. Simon Cameron was preaching at that time. And I tell you, when the Lord brought me back to reality, I came right out, and I was dancing, and I went like this, and I couldn't believe it. Everybody was sitting watching me. I went right up to the microphone, and I began to tell him, here's what God quickened me. He says, son, you've been in despair, you've been in sorrow, and he says, what I've done for you today in the spirit, he says, I've took you out of Egypt, and I've took you through a Red Sea experience, hallelujah, and I've set you gloriously and wondrously free, hallelujah, amen, in my name. And I tell you, folks tried to tell me that it's not real. I tell you, it was the most real area of life I've ever been in, hallelujah, with the power of God. And I came and God began to quicken me. I began to share with the people that the Lord had took me through the Red Sea. And the Red Sea experience, it took me out of bondage into liberty. Hallelujah. And I tell you, folks, that was in a little church. It wasn't much bigger than this, the Zion Tabernacle. You know, and yet, boy, God began to move there. Praise the Lord in a mighty way. And this is what God showed me. He took me just after my mom died. And you know what happened? God quickened me and the Holy Ghost more than ever. Give me fire. Give me a heart to go on with him. Hallelujah. And I just blessed the Lord this morning. I thought I'd just reminisce a little bit on the greatness of God. Amen. I believe the Lord could give us an experience upon experience. And the man, I know that so many folks will say, well, we don't live in experiences. I could say amen to that, but my experience is new every morning. Hallelujah. Amen. With the blessing of Jesus. It's new every morning, the touch of God. Hallelujah. Fresh. Amen. It's not stale bread. It's fresh every morning. Hallelujah. I have a new experience every morning. I open my eyes. Hallelujah. Every night when I go to bed. Amen. Even in the night watches. Hallelujah. I have a new experience with Jesus Christ, the revelation of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. God is raising a people up today, hallelujah, that will go against the gates of hell, amen. Praise the Lord and begin to call and begin to pull the strongholds of the enemy down. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the body of Christ today, I tell you so many times, so many are so weak in the things of the Spirit. They feel it is just my in speaking in other tongues. I want to share this with you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is more than that. It's an area where God opens up a vast area that you and I might move in a greater pasture, hallelujah, and walk close to him, hallelujah. It's not just making a noise. I tell you, amen, it's a revelation of the Spirit of the living God, hallelujah. It's moving in Christ, amen. It's yea and amen, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Do you realize there's countless who speak in tongues and yet never experience the touch of God really in their life with a vision or any of these things? Never feel that real touch of God deep down because they become like brass cymbals. Became like like cymbals just clanging together. I tell you, the initial sign of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost is speaking in other tongues. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I tell you, I believe this. Once you receive that Holy Ghost anointing, there's a moving on. Amen. Amen. You just don't sit and just sit in a little church and just speak in tongues all the time. You begin to move in revelation, hallelujah, of the things of the Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm Holy Ghost. I believe in speaking in tongues. Praise the Lord. And I believe every believer should be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Moving in the Spirit. You know how many people will say, well, you don't need that. I need it. Hallelujah. I need it, Glenn. Praise the Lord. I need that touch of God. And before I close, I remember one time that I began to speak, just when I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would go to a church, and you know, down in England where I was going with my wife, God took us together. My wife was there when I was saved. Praise the Lord. And the Lord knew what I had need of. Hallelujah. Someone might have to look after everything. And praise the Lord, efficient. Because I tell you, folks, at that time I wasn't very efficient. I'm not, still, I'm not yet. Praise the Lord. For the wives. Amen. Praise the Lord for these wives. Hallelujah. That take time with you and I sometimes. I tell you. Man, the Lord has a lot of patience with you and I. But what a patience sometimes our wife must have with us. Amen. Amen. But you know, I begin to realize that Gwen and I came together. That God took us together. Praise the Lord. And we begin to move in such a way. Hallelujah. Gwen was there when I was saved. Amen. And she played the piano. And I remember, man, the Spirit of the Lord began to move. And people begin to, man, the Holy Ghost, people were dancing in the Spirit, prophecies, tongues and interpretation. 12-year-old girls were slain under the anointing of God. And, you know, at that time I wasn't saved. You know, I didn't know Jesus. And I said, oh, what's this? You see, I was in an Episcopalian church at one time. Well, I'm from the early years to 27. I maybe was twice there, maybe. But I was Episcopalian through and through. And I tell you, if anyone had said about my religion, I'd have thought about it. I said, oh, I'm Episcopalian, and I thought there was everybody. I tell you, that was Episcopalian was all right, especially if they were Scottish. Amen? How many of you folks have felt that from Arkansas or Mississippi or my Oklahoma? They say, well, I'm all right. I'm an Okie. I'm from Arkansas. I'm a man, what do you call that, a Mississippian? Oh, a redneck. Well, bless the Lord. But here it is, you see. And I remember I would come up to the altar. They would give the altar call for a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And I would say, Lord, I need this. I knew I was saved, born again. I knew I had a touch of God in my life, but I needed more. And I would run to the altar, and I tell you, some of these guys would shake me. My, they would hit me on the head. They would pray for my legs. I don't know what they prayed for my legs for. But they would pray for so many things. They would say, say this, say that. They would both pound me over the head with the Bible. And I would come away from that altar, and I'd be going like this. I didn't know if I was coming or going. But every time there was an altar call for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was down. And I tell you, it went all through the same routine again. Shake me up a little bit. Man, I tell you, you speak about a whole lot of shaking. I tell you, I experienced that. And I began to search the Scripture. I said, oh, I've had enough of this. Because there was something blocking me from receiving it. And many other people have received it in areas such as this. But I began to seek the Lord. And I began to get on my knees before my bed. I began to open the Scripture. And I began to relate and read about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I began to say, Lord, if this is for me, I want it. And you know, praise the Lord is faithful. One night in a kitchen in Norwich, England, God baptized me in the Holy Ghost. Amen. I began to speak in new tongues. Hallelujah. And you know this, it didn't stop there for 3 to 4 months. Every time I thought about Jesus, I would speak in tongues. Man, I thought I wasn't speaking English again. And I thought I was going, something was going wrong with me. And I'd say, I'm going too deep into this religious aspect. That's what I thought. But I began to seek the Lord. And you know, as a young person in Christ, you know this, I couldn't walk into my bedroom just before the Lord came into the took me into the ministry. When I went upstairs, we live in an old house in Pittenweem, Scotland, I would open the door such as this, I would push it open, and I would have to get down on my knees, and I'd have to crawl in on my hands and knees and lie on the carpet in front of my bed because with a cloud that was in the bedroom, a Shekinah glory. I couldn't stand up in it. But I had to lie, and this happened for months. And every time I thought about Jesus, and I'd lost my license just before I got saved, you know. And every time I went on the bus when I was working there in Norwich, I would speak in tongues, and the bus conductors would run up the other side of the bus. And then I got fly to it, I'd say, right, the exact fare, and I'd be speaking in tongues. And man, the people thought I was crazy. I thought I was going to speak English again. But every time I went in my bedroom, I'd have to push it open and crawl in and lie prostrate. I would write love letters to my wife. My girlfriend then, to Gwen. And I tell you, it would be 16 pages of prophecy, thus says the Lord. Tell you, God is moving by His Spirit. Amen.
I am determined that I'm going on.
Amen.
You know, the Scripture is very plain that there'll only be a remnant who desires to go on. The very elect, the overcomer. And I determined that I want to be an overcomer. One of the elect, one of those who will go on. Amen. And to those is the juicy reward given. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got something to look forward to. The reward is to the overcomer. It's to those who determine that they will be all that the Lord can be through them. Father, we thank you this morning for the great manifestation and the glorious presence of your presence that has been among us this morning. And will yet be among us. I praise you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Lord, I glory in your presence. And I thank you for your presence. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that rests upon the music and the singing and the testimony this morning. That it was for your glory and by your Spirit. And I praise you for it. And Father, I thank you for the food that's prepared for us. Make it health and strength to us. Thank you for the anointing to flow over and to move as we declare deliverance unto the captives this afternoon. To set the captives free. That we may walk in holiness and righteousness before you for your name's sake, declaring that Jesus is Lord.
This is the end of this message.